What's your Everest? You know, the highest mountain on earth, a metaphor for a goal that is so big that it scares you to even speak it out loud. That goal that takes more than a season, a year, or maybe takes a lifetime to even accomplish. I'm Colleen Rue, the voice of the mountain and your host as we meet inspiring individuals who know what it's like to set big goals and how to accomplish them. Welcome to My Everest, a 29029 podcast. Have you ever watched a great athlete perform? They can look flawless, light on their feet, perfect form. They make everything look effortless. Whether it's a 29029 or another sporting event, it's easy to see the front of the pack and think, how can this be so easy for them? And why isn't it easy for me? I'm not sure what it is that makes us think that those who are winning the races and climbing in front of us are somehow having an easier time. No matter your ability, everyone is covering the same distance, and even the best of us have underlying struggles not visible to the outside world that threaten to derail our performance. Amber Conlin was the first woman to find her Everest at Snow Basin 2 in 2022. She was fast and fit, completing 29,029 feet of climbing and 30 miles of distance just after midnight, about 19 hours after beginning the challenge. If you were standing at the summit in those dark, early morning hours, you would have seen a mom being greeted by her four children, her husband Tyler, and her in-laws, all of them beaming, holding their signs, and overflowing with pride. But this 29029 finish was not the only Everest Amber climbed on her way to this point.
Be totally honest, like, I have struggled with body image issues my whole life, and I knew that 29029 would push me to my limits, and I am uber competitive. I'm so competitive in all things, but I had like a moment of clarity where I was like, I want to do that, but I know I can't do it in a healthy way where I am with myself right now.
We may not always know the battles and challenges that rage on the other side of a smiling face and a brilliant performance. But as we dig below the surface, what we uncover can teach us things for our own journey.
It was a big accomplishment for me to be able to really just be in that moment and appreciate how my body could show up. And for my kids to see that, and for my husband to support me, is huge. And I think the other message that I wanted my kids to get was, do things that bring you joy, and you're worth it.
Amber can teach us what true happiness is, and how she finally found it, not on the mountain, but within herself.
Since climbing the mountain, it has increase my confidence in myself and my ability to, one, that I'm worth spending the time on and doing things that bring me happiness, and two, that I can do hard things. It's also allowed my kids to see me do hard things. I was telling Tyler, when you called and said you wanted to interview me, and my son was in the car, and I was telling my husband, and my son's like, it's probably because you're the coolest mom out there. And I was like, it was just one of those moments where you're like, oh, okay. Like, you saw me on the mountain and you saw me climb and you saw the hard work. And it's good for them, I think, to see their mom do that and not just play that role of mom and be their cheerleader, but they were my cheerleader on the mountain too. And they can pull from my experience and see that, you know, hey, my mom put herself out there and that was not easy, and I can show up and do hard things too.
Tell me how many kids you have.
Four.
Four. And what are their ages?
18, 16, 14, and 12.
I just remember them at Snow Basin, your first event. They were all over that mountain. You didn't sleep at Snow Basin. You just went straight through till you finished. And they were there the whole entire time. A lot of times, because of my position at the base of the mountain, I see families and I see how they interact and kind of the flow of things. Your kids were in it. Like, they were in it.
It was so fun. And they made their own signs and everything. And they were hilarious. So, and that helped me having them, I be at the top of the mountain. My parents were there. My in-laws were there. My husband was there. Having them there at the top helped me, like those last few laps that totally sucked. I was like, hey, they're at the top and they are cheering me on. And it was like, just, I mean, my husband had a cowbell too, but it's like those cowbells that you hear on the mountain that is just like, let me get to that spot. Let me get to that spot. Like, it was always like, let me get to the top. Let me see the new sign that they've made. And it just was extra motivation to push and get there. So,
yeah, you could see in their eyes. I've looked at some of the pictures from when you finished and you can just see your kids. They do think you are the coolest mom ever. And that's a tough bar when you've got so many teenagers in your house. So kudos to you for that. How did you originally find 29029? I know you live in Utah. You live actually just on the other side of Snow Basin.
Yeah.
So how did you find 29? Yeah.
I tried to think back. I am pretty sure I saw on Instagram just randomly, probably back in 2019. And I was like, oh, that is my jam. Like, I want to do that. But I was not in a place where I could do it in a healthy way. And to be totally honest, like, I have struggled with body image issues my whole life. And I knew that 29029 would push me to my limits. And I am uber competitive. I'm so competitive in all things. But I had like a moment of clarity where I was like, I want to do that, but I know I can't do it in a healthy way where I am with myself right now. I think at the end of 2019, beginning of 2020, I really started on like a self-love journey and did the work that I needed to do to really be okay with myself. And most people would struggle to understand why I wasn't okay with myself. Like, I've always been smaller, but size doesn't matter when it comes to self-love. You know, it was always like, okay, well, I'll be happy when I have the six pack. I'll be happy when I have the thigh gap or when my bicep vein pops, like as vain as that sounds, no pun intended. I was not in a good place with myself. And I knew that and no doubt could have climbed, but I would have pushed harder than was healthy for me. It would have been all about finishing first and doing it as fast as I could. And I knew that that wasn't what this was about. And I wanted to use 29029 as a stepping stone or part of my journey in really, truly loving myself and accepting myself no matter what.
I think what you're saying really speaks to a lot of people, where to look at you, you would see Amber she's fit, she's lean, she looks like she could go and conquer the world. But that's not the whole story. No. When we look at people.
Oh no, and I hit it well too. And it didn't matter how many times my husband told me I was beautiful. Like, it doesn't matter until you feel it for yourself.
So what brought you to the point where you knew that you needed to change that part of yourself?
I'd always known that like the way that I felt wasn't the right way to feel. And I really didn't want to pass that on to my girls. So I've always been consciously aware of like the things that I say when I'm around them. I did not want them to pick up on my insecurities and I wanted them to love themselves. It finally just got to a point where I was like, I can't keep doing this. This is not the way that it's supposed to be. And it really just weighed on me heavy. And so I was like, I need to do the work. Like, now is the time for me to find a support group or go to therapy, whatever I needed to do to get to a place where I was okay with me.
And when you got to the mountain at Snow Basin, you were one of the top performing women. I'm not going to, you know, mince words. You were the first woman on top of that mountain that night. And how did you balance that that, let's call it maybe a negative competitive nature, a negative self-image in the need to be first with 29 or 29, where really we don't care if you're first or if you're last, but we still celebrate your journey however you want to take it. So how did you balance that?
You know, having 29029 be a you versus you, and there isn't a first, second, and third, allowed me to still push myself, but not be so competitive. And I really used every day of my training as therapy. I mean, I had done therapy outside of that to really be in a place where I was okay with myself before I even started the training. Every day on the mountain, I mean, there were so many tears on those trails. And just like, I just had the mentality of loving myself through the journey. When I felt strong, when I felt so weak, when I was frustrated with my body, when I turned my ankle, all of those things, I was going to love myself through every step of it. And then when I stepped on the mountain, I had to calm myself. I mean, I love hiking. So allowing myself to just be me and enjoy that moment. I remember, I mean, my first lap, I went out of the gates fast, which everyone's like, don't do it. But then I caught up with a couple of guys at the top and we did a couple laps together and I just kind of just got in my rhythm. And I was like, you know what? I think it was probably at lap, I can't remember what lap it was, but somebody passed me and I was like, okay, I felt my heart rate rise and increase. And I was like, it's okay. Like, calm down. It's okay if they pass you. You don't have to be first. You don't have, like, this is just my journey. This is me and that's it. And I think if 29029 didn't have the, just like the mentality of you versus you, and it was a race, I don't think that I could have stepped into it as healthily as I did. If I signed up for a marathon or something, I would have pushed harder than was necessary or was healthy for me in that moment. I felt like 29029 was a step in that journey that I needed so that I could calm that competitive spirit and just sit with myself and really just feel myself and the love that I had for myself. And it really was a huge step in that journey for me. So
do you think that that ability to not worry about the competition and that space to allow yourself to take that step back, do you think that helped your performance on the mountain overall?
I haven't really thought of that so much, but it probably did because I was able to just stay within myself and not worry about what was going on around me. And I really could just climb my own mountain. And as you said, like I was the first female to finish that, which is awesome, but that wasn't the coolest part for me. I think that there were three women that finished out the top five. And I felt like that was so powerful just seeing how strong the women were on the mountain. But it really did just allow me to be me and not worry about everything else. Just climb my mountain, just be me. And I think that probably was one of the first times where I was just okay sitting with myself and not worrying about what somebody else thought of me or how it looked.
I think about Jesse Itzler, our co-founder, and he says, be where your feet are. And yeah. That's kind of what I'm hearing from you is you actually were able to be where your feet are in that moment and find that happiness, find that joy in that moment rather than diminishing it with the negative self-talk right. that we always have in our going on. It's sometimes it seems like it's just this thing that's playing over and over and over in our minds, this negative self-talk. When we're being successful, we're doing things to move us forward and climb these mountains. But yet sometimes we're constantly pulling ourselves back from the joy of accomplishing things.
Yeah. In the past, my goals had always been set to, okay, when I have the six pack, then I'll be happy. Like they were always, when I reach this, then I'll be happy. And I never had happiness in the journey. And 29029, with that and the work that I had done in order to get to 29029, I think that helped me really just be okay and enjoy the moment and the journey and whatever the outcome was. Like before I could even sign up for 29029, I had to be okay with not finishing it, which in my competitive mind was so hard. And I was like, I know I can climb that mountain, but I have to be okay with not being able to finish it for whatever reason.
Well, and finishing looks different all the time. It's like being okay with yourself. What I hear you saying is being okay with my best self, putting my best self forward, because sometimes our best self may not get us to the finish line at that point. And that's a huge thing that we have to learn to accept.
Well, and your best self shows up and doesn't have to have a red hat. Your best self can complete 5 laps and that is a win. Like there's nothing to be ashamed of if you don't get the red hat. If your best self showed up, that's a win. But I hadn't ever allowed myself to be okay with that. And so I think 29029 was a huge part in me being able to just appreciate where I was and the journey and not having to be all of the things and look a certain way.
When you left the mountain, what did you take with you? I mean, that you said that was kind of the first time you were able to let go and enjoy that. Did that last? Was it something that was a lasting effect from that?
Most definitely. I mean, it's still a journey that I'm on. I wouldn't say it's not a one and done. It's like, oh, I did this and I feel amazing all of the time about myself. It's still a struggle, but not as often. It's not a daily struggle. And I think because of that journey, it allows me to just, I can take the time to refocus and be like, calm down and just find peace in myself. And the second time that I stepped on that mountain, it wasn't the same journey for me. And I had my own battles on that second mountain. Showing up with a respiratory infection was not fun. And it didn't allow me to push as hard as I wanted to, but I was okay. And I was able to calm myself and still just, you know, as Jesse says, be where my feet were and just take it one step at a time.
Yeah. Your second mountain in Jackson Hole, you know, it's interesting. You maybe had this breakthrough the first time and you were able to experience something you hadn't experienced before and become a different version of yourself. But then you get to Jackson Hole, this new mountain that's very, very different. Like you said, you came into it not 100%. You had you were battling. I remember when you got there and I was like, oh, Amber.
I sounded so bad. I had people stop me. I'm like coughing on the side of the trail and they're like, are you okay? Or Cowbell Rob at the first aid station, he's like, you sound terrible. I'm like, I know.
That must have been really hard for you, because I think some of those negative thoughts all of a sudden surface, because maybe the first time you were able to smoothly get through that process, but then you come to Jackson Hole and you are really truly facing, I may not be able to finish this and perform the way that I want to. That had to be a whole different scenario for you.
Yeah, for sure. And I wondered if that like happened on my first, attempt at 29029, what my thought process would have been. Thankfully, I already had one under my belt, but I really did just go back to that tool belt that I had and was like, it's okay. I'm going to show up as my best self. And, you know, Jackson is so steep. Snow Basin, I know Snow Basin well. I ski that mountain in the winters. I have my favorite rock on my hike up, but it's like, okay, I've just made it through this steep part. I'm going to stand on this rock and breathe. But Jackson, I didn't know so well. I'd never hiked that mountain. But Jackson has a special part in my heart. Growing up, my dad did the Logan to Jackson bike race every year growing up. And so I grew up watching my dad do these endurance races. And so as soon as Jackson was announced, I was like, I feel like I have to do that. Like, that is calling my name. And so just facing that mountain and not feeling even close to 100%, I still was able to just calm myself and say, you know what, like, you have done all the training you can, show up as your best self. You may or may not complete it, and that's okay. Just show up and do what you can.
Yeah. And I think that's just a huge win for you, just to be able to do that. Because I know when you're talking, I'm feeling everything that you're saying. We have mirror brains that are going on. So I feel that. And the most difficult thing is when the circumstances change, because always in the back of my head, if things are going smoothly, I'm still okay. But it's when really have to face, like, no, this is going off the rails and you really don't know what's going to happen, to be able to dig into that tool belt, that really shows so much growth on your part. And you still did well at Jackson.
I did. But Jackson was different. With Snow Basin, I just pushed through. I finished pretty quick. I think before 1 o'clock in the morning. And with Jackson Hole, I stopped at 10 PM. I got a full night's rest and started back up in the morning. And one of the biggest differences between Snow Basin and Jackson was at Snow Basin, it was just me. Like, I just hiked by myself most of the time outside of those first couple of laps. I mean, I would say hi to everybody and, you know, chat for a little bit, but really it was just me, just one foot in front of another the whole time. And at Jackson, I think it was lap 3 and I felt someone coming up behind me and had to calm myself. I mean, not very many people come up behind you at Jackson Hole anyway. Like, Jackson is steep and you're all just hiking in a line. And then every once in a while, pulling over and bracing yourself on a tree so someone can pass you. And but this girl came up behind me and we just kind of stuck together and finished that lap together. And we ended up hiking the whole rest of the time together. So what we met up on lap 3 and hiked the other 16 laps together.
Yeah, so you spent a lot of time together.
Yeah, so Jill was awesome. And then she came with Carrie. So Carrie hiked quite a few laps with us, which was so different from Snow Basin. Because this time it was me and Jill and then sometimes Carrie, and just hiked the whole time. And we would take turns, like one lap I would lead and then the next lap she would lead, which was so awesome because you get in that struggle bus and you're just like, I cannot take another step. But you got someone leading you, or you're leading the other person, which just kept me going. I was like, okay, I can do this. It's steep, but Jill's right behind me and I got to keep going for her. And both of us, I think after, were like, that helped me so much. Cause I was to the point where I was like, I don't want to keep going. I'm ready for a break. And it was just awesome to have the support of somebody else just pushing you up the mountain.
Well, and I think it's because you allowed yourself to have the support of someone else.
Correct. I was not in that place before 29. It was, I'm just going to do this on my own. I don't want to depend on somebody else. You know, I'm not very good at receiving and not good at receiving help. And I think that is one area where I have grown and just allowed Jill to give to me in that moment and for me to give to her as well.
Yeah, it's another one of those tools that as we grow and as we leave behind some of these negative places that we develop in our lives, and we're able to open ourselves up, we can get so much farther. What looked like weakness at one point to us actually becomes our greatest strength.
Yeah. And believing that you can do it all on your own. Like, I could have done that mountain on my own, but I was so much better with the help of Jill and the support of my family. And we had friends come and family come and support too. But on that mountain, going step for step with me, like Jill was pushing me, I was pushing her, and it made it so much better.
Yeah, it's such a unique community. And when you are able to lean into that community, we talk about that all the time, like leaning into that community. And that's really hard for some people. And to open ourselves up to receive the help and to know that this isn't going to be perfect, it's not going to be the best situation, but I still want to accomplish something. So I have to be willing to do it as imperfectly as it's going to come at me, because I do want to accomplish this.
I think, I don't know. I haven't done many other events. I've like done a 5K with my kids. Like that's, you know, and so I was the one helping them on that, like pushing them. So I don't have like a ton of experience outside of this. But from what I know, you don't get that support from other events that are more about you and your accomplishments. Like the community that 29029 has really does just cultivate this breeding ground for helping one another and supporting one another on your journey, whatever that looks like.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been in the competitive endurance world before, and you're absolutely right. It's different. It's just so different at 29029. But yet I know through my own experience, I can be so much more successful when I let go of some of those other I don't even know the word I'm looking for, but it's kind of that selfish side of sport and allow that community to work within what I want to accomplish, because we can do so much more. And just mentally, it's different. It's such a mental challenge when, say, I want to do an Ironman or something and I don't hit the goals or I'm having a bad day. I don't have anybody to lean on. Sure, there might be a volunteer or something to help me, but I don't have anything to lean on. And I could leave that experience, even if I cross the finish line of an Ironman, feeling completely disappointed in myself. And yeah. I'm speaking from experience there. How can you be disappointed? But
when you complete an Ironman.
Right.
Yeah.
But I've been there. I've experienced that. And I think you're saying the same thing, that you've been in that headspace where it's like you can't even see your accomplishment through the weeds of the negativity.
Oh. Yeah. 100%. And I think even if you take it outside of 29029, like how much better our lives would be if we allowed people to support us in our own lives, just in the day to day, or if we offered that support to those around us, much better this world would be.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And seek for the adventure, because we just want to try. We just want to go and see what we can do. And we can find that adventure if we're just willing to see what's next and what the next summit will bring. Cause we don't know. It might be a respiratory infection and we end up having good best friends that we can go on with. You know, you may never have met those women in that way had your body not said, I'm going to slow you down a little bit.
I know. And it was good for me. And, you know, we still chat and we are planning on doing rim to rim to rim, in September together. And so it's created a friendship that I didn't anticipate, and it's been awesome.
And I love how you said that 29029 has given you more confidence, and it blew my mind when I remember when I first met you at Snow Basin and you had finished, and I think it was Saturday and we were just chatting and I'm like, wait, you've never done anything like this before? What had you done before? I mean, you clearly were not sitting on the couch, Amber.
No, I wasn't sitting on the couch, but I train at the gym. I lift weights. I played sports growing up. And really, I ran some like 5K fun runs with my kids. Like, I don't love cardio, but I do live just at the bottom of the mountains here in northern Utah. So hiking's always been available to me. I love being outdoors. I find peace. I have my chats with God. Some of them are more angry than other, you know, but I find peace on the trails. I leave tears on the trails. I wasn't a novice when it came to hiking, but when it came to doing something on that scale, I hadn't ever done anything even close to that. Really was a newbie. And I remember that conversation with you, and you're like, there's no way that you haven't done anything. I'm like, and really just having that conversation with you, and you know, you're like, you should look into doing more ultras or something. That conversation just built more confidence in me, thinking, wow, like someone else thinks that I can do this. And so then of course I went home and started Googling all of the things and
well, it is.
And I haven't done any of those, but
it's a stepping stone. And yeah. Once we have that confidence, we allow ourselves to do that and go to those uncomfortable places. Really, it just opens up a world of possibility if we're willing to just set aside and really, like you said, love ourselves through the whole process, as messy as it can be and all the feelings. And it really resonates. Your story really resonates with me. And it's part of your story that I had no idea. And I never would have thought of, but it gives it a whole new perspective when I see your kids and pictures of your kids looking at their mom accomplishing something. She didn't just climb a mountain. She's overcoming herself and becoming a better version of herself.
Oh man, that brings on the tears. Because I've been open with my kids, with my struggles. I didn't want to hide that from them. But yeah, it was a big accomplishment for me to be able to really just be in that moment and appreciate, even with a respiratory infection, how my body could show up. Maybe it wasn't the strongest in the moment, but to be there and to show up and to do my best, and for my kids to see that, and for my husband to support me, is huge. And I think the other message that I wanted my kids to get was, do things that bring you joy and you're worth it. Part of me was lost in raising my kids. And I just got so consumed in that I didn't do all of the things that brought me joy. And I mean, my kids bring me joy and watching them succeed brings me joy, but I didn't take time for myself either. And I wanted to make sure that they got the message that like, they're worth it, and to never give up on your dreams and to always find a way to do something that brings you joy.
Yeah. It's all about that. I was reading a book called The Gap and the Gain, and it's talking about how we see ourselves and how we pursue or create happiness. And that if we're constantly in that place, and it's exactly what you were saying, when I get the abs, when this picture looks good, when I cross this finish line with this time, when I make this much money, if we are always doing that to ourselves, we will never be happy. Because that target, that ideal is constantly moving. It's never going to be good enough. But when we start measuring ourselves in reverse, when we start looking back at what we've done, where we've come from, and what we've created, we'll always find joy.
Yeah. I was on a never-ending search for happiness. It didn't matter how many of the goals that I accomplished I was never happy. Really, like 29-29, just seeing that and it starting my journey of self-love. And then finally, you know, 3 years later, stepping on the mountain after I had done some work, and then, you know, the work that I did while training, and then being on the mountain, like it really just allowed me to stop setting those never-ending goals in the search for happiness and finding happiness where I was.
There you have it. My Everest, the latest episode of the 29-29 podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you subscribe wherever you get your favorite podcasts. If you'd like to learn more about 29-29 events or read more stories from an incredible community of individuals, you can head over to 29029everesting.com. That's 29029everesting.com. I'm Colleen Rue, the voice of the mountain. Keep climbing. We'll meet you at the next summit.